everybody. This is Danny Johnson. And, man, we've just come back from Boston, Massachusetts, and just had an outrageous time with an incredible group of people that came from literally all over the place, all over the planet, to come out for that two-day event. And I just really want to extend a hello, and I already miss you guys because you guys are obviously a special group of people that in the month of August you saw it fit to get yourself equipped for the fall season instead of, you know, sitting back looking for excuses. This isn't the time for me to build my business. You stepped up to the plate and you made things happen. For those of you that are brand new, hearing for the first time, we're going to be talking about, I'm going to be actually giving you guys some insights in the area of closing today. I'm actually going to use some of the information that I teach in my the coaching classes and just kind of take some of what my students have done and the things that they have learned, the places where they tweaked a few things that have really made a major impact in their business. I'm going to give that, guys, that over to you, which, what a blessing. I mean, this is a free call, and you're going to get literally several hundreds of dollars worth of information right here tonight. So tonight's the night to take some serious notes because this is going to be a very powerful call tonight. But before we go into that, I just want to tell you a little bit about who's talking to you. And I know many of you are brand new. This is your very first time ever even listening to us and being a part of DannyJohnson.com and our Monday night calls. My name is Danny Johnson, and prior to getting started in business, I was a 19-year-old uneducated female who grew up in a home where my parents were complete drug addicts. I didn't have a lot of confidence growing up. I thought I was stupid and I could never do anything right. Heard about going into business for myself, and quite honestly, I didn't think that it was for me. And after 2 months, I finally got the courage to actually get started because I figured even if I failed, I'd be doing better self-employed than if I was working for somebody else. Well, initially, I was totally wrong. I had quit my job, came in full-time, and my first 6 months, I failed miserably. Everything was going wrong for me. And after that, found out about a training seminar that was supposed to change everything for me, went to that training seminar, came out, made $4,000 in 8 days. Next check was $11,000, next one $15,000, next one just under $21,000. So here it was exciting, man. I finally had achieved a level that I never even thought was possible for someone like myself. Then went, got married, and the guy that I married turned out to be a real winner. He drained my bank account, maxed out my credit cards, and left me with a $35,000 debt. I wound up completely homeless, living truly right out of my car, totally depressed, full of despair, totally hopeless, and living in absolute fear that I would always wind up a failure and that this was my destiny and that, you know, how dare I even think, you know, the year before that I could ever amount to anything, but that this was what I was going to be. And I remember those horrifying feelings and thoughts of suicide and feelings of what's the point of living, because if this is what life is going to be, it's totally not worth it. And so after several weeks of being in an absolute deep pity party and depression, decided to step up and start a business from the trunk of my car in a payphone booth. I just got upset with myself one day. And from the trunk of my car in a payphone booth, made $2,000 the first 10 hours profit. Next month made $6,500 in 30 hours profit. Next month made over $10,000. That was my first full-time month. And by the end of my first year, made $250,000. By the end of my second year, had made my first million. And I was 23 years of age. And so if this young, uneducated female from a small town in Northern California can, with no education, go out and start in a business and fail first miserably, but failing forward to try again, could rise up and become a millionaire within 2 years, then what can you do? That if that can happen for me, then it certainly can happen for you. Now, many of you were invited by somebody who cared enough about you to introduce you to this call, to this website. And you really need to turn back to them and say thank you so much that you cared enough about my life that you wanted to make an improvement in whatever area that needs to be improved. Now, I know that for some of you maybe got a big ego trip where you're thinking, you know, my life is perfect, everything's great, I don't need any change. Well, you might as well hang up now because this is not for you. And send us a picture of who you are because we'll make sure and not contact you again. But anyway, there is nobody on this planet that everything is great, everything is perfect, and it's always going to be that way. We are on planet Earth. It is flawed. Things happen. Mistakes happen. Disasters happen. And it's never the circumstances in our life that determine success, but it is always how we deal with those circumstances. Are we going to fold when something bad happens to us, when somebody steals from us, when we talk to 100 people and everyone says no, or that when our spouse doesn't support us, are we going to flop on the ground and cry like our two-year-olds do? Or are we going to rise up and say, you know what, I'm going to make it. I'm going to go beyond it. I'm going to rise up and do something different. I'm not going to stay the same. I'm not here on this planet to wind up repeating 2004 or 2003 or 02 or 01. In fact, you're not here to repeat 1980. I hope you realize that. But life is about moving forward, growing to the next level, taking the next step. And what's important is that every one of us, no matter what our day-to-day look like, that we rise up above it and we make tomorrow better than yesterday. So let's go ahead and get into the content of this call. Now, again, this call is being recorded. You can listen to this call actually starting tomorrow. And if you go to DaniJohnson.com, which is DaniJohnson.com, again, DaniJohnson.com, you can find actually an outrageous amount of other free calls just like this one archived in our conference call vault. You first have to become a free member. Once you become a free member, it opens up the vault to you. There is six figures of free information available to you on that site. Folks, I just came to learn today, and actually over the weekend, we have movie producers that glean from these calls. We have songwriters and singers. We have Grammy Award winners. We have producers, TV producers, movie producers. I mean, we've got doctors and lawyers and nurses, and we've got people like myself, cocktail waitresses and mechanics and busboys and every walk of life, moms who are just trying to get their business off the ground, and we've got dads who are struggling, who have been struggling out in the marketplace, who are looking for a better way to set up a better retirement or put their kids to college. We have every walk of life who utilizes this free website on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. There's not any one of us that are too good to listen to some helpful information that can impact your life. And it's not because I'm good at delivering information. As you can tell already, I'm extremely flawed. I talk way too fast and I have a screechy voice. But at least there is truth on the site that can help you make decisions, that can help to bring guidance when you need it. We all need it. We all get off track way too easy. And so there's lots of great stuff on there to help you out. And again, it's 100% free, available to you. So if you need a shot in the arm, go to the website and get it. Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about helping people to make a decision. In my prospecting and closing classes, which we do monthly, not every month, but for September, in fact, we got a class coming up in September. And in the classes that we're doing right now here for August, I've got we have a maximum of 50 people that are allowed in these classes, mostly geared towards people who are trying to market a product or a service, either internet-based or belly-to-belly. And what we do is I do a whole lot of role-playing with these people in these classes, and I find out the funniest things through doing this. And so I'm going to share the experiences that we've been experiencing on those classes. First of all, the first one that I want to talk about is I had this one particular student. His name is Greg. And here's one of the things that we find. What's important is that you stick to a system, especially in the very beginning of your career, which he is. He's a businessman and has sold his company and is doing this new business full-time. And so what's important when you're first starting out and you're trying to learn a new skill, it's important for you to stick to a system. And in this case, obviously, I'm going to be teaching from our script book, from DaniJohnson.com's script book. It's script book and training audio. And that's what we basically troubleshoot everyone's closing ratios to see how we can improve those numbers. And so, number one, it's important that you use a script or you use a system and that you stick to that system in the very beginning. In fact, all the way through my entire 16 years of career, I still stick to scripts. I still follow directions. Why? Because it's too easy to get off track. Not only that, number two, is that it's easy to become unduplicatable. And most of us, if we want to be able to stop trading hours for dollars and we want to start employing the efforts of other people, preferably those that are better than us, then we have to have a system that is duplicatable. And that goes for whether you're in corporate America or if you're in direct sales. It doesn't matter. You know, it has been said and studies have been done that 90% of the time where an employee makes a mistake is because there is a flaw in the system. There's a flaw in the procedure. It's not always the person. It's actually the procedure that was set before them. And I've seen this many times with my clients, the one-on-one coaching that I do. I coach people in sales, and I coach people who run companies, some large companies, some small companies. I coach movie producers and as well as directors and things like that as well. But what we see is that when they're having trouble with employees and they've got someone that's really talented but yet keeps making the same mistake, it's usually because there's a mistake in the process. There's usually a mistake in the system, and it's not always the person. It's usually the system's error, not the person's error. And so just like with the business that most of you that are on this call right now, about 60% of you, you are in some kind of a direct sales model or some kind of a marketing company. And it's the same with that. When it comes to duplication, it has to be simple. It has to be so simple that a three-year-old could do it. It cannot be so complicated that there leaves a lot of room for someone to try to figure everything out. Just have them follow the system. So it's important to do that. One, you follow the system. You stick to the script, especially if you're in the beginning of a career. If you're in the middle of your career, stick to the script. If you're at the end of your career and you've been at it for a long time like I have, stick to the script. Why? Because there's people watching. The prospect is watching what you're doing and deciding whether or not he can do it. And so it's important for you to stick to a script, okay? So that was the first thing that we saw with my first client, Greg. Here's the second thing that we noticed with when we were working with this particular client of mine. And what it was is that we have a tendency of trying to oversell the things that we like about what we're doing instead of trying to find out what the prospect likes about what he's doing. And so this goes for no matter what profession you're in. I don't care if you're a nurse. The ability to communicate and to find the needs or find what motivates the patient or the prospect is huge. You know, there are people that pay $25,000 for 2 days to go and listen to a top copywriter, businessman who has helped people make billions of dollars, right? Billions. And if you go and you submit that $25,000 to his event, and I suggest that you do, I mean, it's a great event if you got that kind of money to blow, he will tell you, don't assume you know what the marketplace wants. He will tell you, and I've been teaching this for 16 years, and it was hilarious when I was hearing him, he will tell you, don't assume. I'm telling you, don't assume that you know what your patient wants, what your prospect wants, what the marketplace wants. That's how you make a complete idiot out of yourself, and that's how you wind up losing money. And so the important thing is this. You gain communication skills so that you can learn how to listen to what it is the marketplace wants so that you can feed it to them. So in this case, in the area of closing, what I've watched many of my students do is they sell what they like. So they assume that the prospect wants to get out of debt. And so they say, hey, you know, you want to get out of debt, don't you? Or, you know, for example, let's just start with the beginning of the script. I was role-playing with this particular client, and he says, what did you like about what you saw? And I said, well, you know, I like the service. It seems like a service that everybody needs, and I like the opportunity to make a lot of money. And he says, okay, well, what are you doing right now? He varied from the script was the first thing that happened. The second thing that happened was that he began to sell me on what he liked about his opportunity. So he began to say, you know, so what are you doing right now? I said, I'm a cocktail waitress. And he says, oh, he goes, well, I can see why you would like the money part of the company because, man, look at that residual income that you have and you got stability and, you know, on the job that you're in right now, you know, if you don't go to work, you basically don't make any money. So at least with our company, you know, the work that you put in, you'll be able to earn that nice residual income. And as you bring other people into the program, then that residual income continues to grow. And then if anything ever happens, you can take some time off and you still make some money. Well, he lost me right there. He began to sell me instead of finding what it was that I liked and driving what I liked. So most people make this huge mistake, okay, which was number two. Don't assume you know what the prospect wants. Don't assume it. And number three, don't sell what you like. Don't sell what you like. You are not here to market the part you like about the opportunity. You are here to find out what the prospect likes and give it to them. It truly is that simple. Do you want it to get to the point where your prospect is talking themselves into your program? That you're not doing the talking, but that they are talking themselves into the program? Then, obviously, first steps to success is important for you to get to. Creating a dynasty will totally enhance your giftings there, but what's important, if you want to get to that point where you don't feel gross when you're trying to close somebody, quit selling what you like. Start finding out what they want. Let them sell themselves into it. So, again, number one was stick to the system. Stick to the script, okay? Number two is don't assume you know what the prospect wants. You'll make an idiot out of yourself if you do that. Number three, and you'll miss it. All you will do is attract people that are like you. Number three is don't sell what you like. You want to find out what the prospect likes and give it to them. Okay, the next thing that we saw in this example with this particular client was that he took the prospect off on a totally different tangent and got the mind off of what they actually liked about the program. And so it kind of works like this. Here let's pretend that I'm the prospect and I just listened to a 7-minute message, okay? I listened to a 7-minute message that actually gave me the breakdown about what the opportunity had to offer. When you get back on the phone with that prospect, okay, and let's say that prospect was me, and you begin to just talk my ear off about everything that you thought was so exciting, or you begin to say things like, well, you know, Danny, what are your dreams? If you're going to make a lot of money, what do you want to make a lot of money for? And you know, what are your dreams? You know, do you have any big dreams? Let me tell you something. Most people, and I know it's not you, but most people don't have any dreams. Part of my profession is getting people to dream again. Most of our population, 98% of the population in America today and even in other parts of the world, have no dreams. They have nothing. They have completely lost a vision for the future. And that is sad. But when you get on the phone with a prospect and you begin to probe and you go, what are your dreams? What do you dream about? What do you want to do that's great? That makes some of them very uncomfortable. Why? Because their biggest goal, not dream, is just to get out of debt. Their biggest goal is maybe to pay their bills on time. Their biggest goal is maybe to have a couple extra $100 left over at the end of the month. That really is some of their biggest goals. That's the majority of the people. And when you continue to pry and get them on and, you know, tell me more and tell me more and tell me more. Just all they say on question two is tell me more about that. I just say it one time. You guys don't have to keep going and keep prying. You found out enough information. Just keep it very simple. Ask the 6 questions and let it lead where it goes. So, again, number 4, don't take your prospect out on a tangent. Okay? Don't create some kind of a tangent. Don't take their mind someplace else other than what that opportunity was and how they can get it. That's what's important. Okay? So there you go. There's a couple of pieces of information for my first client that I had the opportunity to work with. Now, my second client that I had the chance to work with, it turned out that her area, and this is how I'm going to help you with this too. I want you to write now, if you write down what your numbers are, okay, and you write down, okay, if on a weekly basis you are bringing, let's say, 10 people to a, this is number 5, look at your numbers. If you were to bring 10 people to a presentation, let's say you schedule 10 people to look at a website, or you schedule 10 people to look at to listen to a conference call, or listen to a recorded message. Let's say that you scheduled 10 people to come in for a chiropractic appointment and you had 5 flake on you. Let's say that you are a hairdresser and you talk to 10 of the people sitting in your chair about the hair products that they can purchase, and let's say only 5 of them wind up doing it, okay? These are the numbers I want you to look at. You've got to analyze your numbers so you can see what your conversion ratios are. Well, in this case, my client Nancy, who's just a sweet woman, she wound up bringing a tremendous amount of people to a website or to a business presentation. Well, if she was thinking that her problem was closing, she was thinking that she was lacking the ability to close. Well, the reality was that she really needed to be in the prospecting class because she never even got the chance to get to the close because no one would show up for the follow-up call. Meaning this, she would read page 2 on the script book to schedule the appointment for them to take a look, let's say, at a website, right? Then what she would do is that she would call them back, let's say, in 15 minutes or the next day or whatever to answer any questions that they may have and basically go through page 4 of the closing script with them. Well, when she would book those 10 appointments, nobody was there when she called them back. They all fell off the face of the planet. So where does the problem really lie? Does she have a problem with closing, or does she have a problem with prospecting? If you answered prospecting, you answered right. That means that when she was doing the prospecting, either they thought she was trying to sell them, or they didn't trust her, or she talked too much about herself and began to sell them, which means if they think that you're trying to sell them something, they don't want anything to do with what it is that you have. So what obviously my advice was to her is you need to be in the prospecting class, not necessarily the closing class. And what's important is that you learn how to analyze your numbers. And you look at your numbers and you go, okay, well, if no one is showing up for the website, then that means there's a breakdown in the prospecting area. If people are showing up for the website but no one and they're there for that follow-up call but no one is signing up, then you have a problem in the area of closing. You're provoking objections out of them, or you're maybe weakening when it comes time to ask the closing question. Maybe you're talking too much. Maybe you're selling too much. These are common problems as to why people have problem with their numbers, okay? So number five, take a look at your numbers. Figure out where the problem lies. If you're talking to a lot of people but no one is taking a look at the business opportunity, there's an issue with your prospecting. And if there's an issue with that, can't recommend strongly enough, get in those September classes if that's what's happening to you. If you're not having a lot of people show up, we can certainly help you with that. And that's a first-come, first-served basis, by the way. And I'm sure that class will be totally full in the next 2 weeks like it always is. They always sell out at least a week and a half before the end of the month. Okay, then let me go on to my next client. What were some things that we talked about with our next client? The next client was Mark. And let me find Mark's file. Okay, now when it came to Mark, this is what we found out. Mark had an issue with people interrupting him in the very beginning of the closing. So, for example, he would call them back after they took a look at the website, and he would say, okay, well, what did you like about what you saw? And his prospect would say things like, I really like the products, and it seems like you can make a lot of money, but, you know, I'm just really not sure about this. You know, is this some kind of a pyramid deal? You know, I don't really know. I don't think I can do anything like this. And that what Mark would do at that point is he would say, in the past prior to first steps, he'd say, okay, thanks anyway, goodbye. Then once he had gone through first steps and he got the scripts and he started to work with him, he would sit down with them and he would say, okay, well, what kind of questions do you have? And then he would answer their questions before he created an eager want for them to do the business at all. So many of you are doing that. What you're doing is that when the person asks you a question, you know, during the close, meaning you say, what did you like about what you saw? And they said, I like the product, but I don't know if I can sell it, or I don't know if I want to talk to my friends about it, or I don't know if this is going to work for me, I don't know if I have the time. You don't want to handle those objections right necessarily there. What you want to do, unless they are very persistent and they have questions, not objections. Questions are different than objections, okay? Questions could be like, who made the product, or, you know, how fast can I get the product, or, you know, questions along those lines. You just say, okay, well, it sounds like you have some questions. What's your first question? If they're questions that are business-related, then, yes, go ahead and you can handle those objections by first saying, okay, you know what, let me get a pen and paper. I'm going to answer those questions for you. What was your first question? You take control of the conversation. You get the questions out on a piece of paper. Then what you do is you go ahead and answer them, and I'm not going to go into all that right now. I'll go into it after I get to the end of Mark's example. Then what you do, but if what they're doing is giving you objections, which are nothing but excuses, all right, what I recommend that you do is this. So if they say, you know, I just don't really know if I'm going to do this, and blah, 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 you ask the question again. And you go to question number two, actually, and this is what you say. Okay, that's great, and I totally understand where you're coming from. So tell me more about what you liked about the product and being able to make money with it. So then Mark, as he was role-playing with me, he said, well, you know, I believe in health, and I believe that if you don't have your health, you have nothing, and I think it's a really neat thing that you can help people with their health. I really like that idea. And I said, okay, so Mark, do you want to make a little or a lot? I want to make a lot. I said, what for? He said, well, the more money I make, that means the more people I can help, and I really am passionate about helping people. Next question was, Mark, at your current job, how long will it take you to be able to help people get healthier and be able to earn an income doing that so you can turn around and help even more people? And he said, never. Great. Where do you see yourself getting started? At the bottom, going slow to helping people get healthier, or do you see yourself starting and being in a position where you can earn twice as much money for the same work and effort as the person who starts off slow? He says, I want to start at the top. And then I said, now give me those objections. But, you know, I'm just really not sure. I mean, this kind of sounds like a pyramid, and, you know, I don't know if I can really even do this, and, you know, I've never done sales before, and I don't really like sales, I don't even like salespeople. You know, so I don't really know, you know, if I can even do this. I say, okay, Mark. Now, Mark, it sounds like you have some questions. So your first question is this a pyramid scam? And he says, yes. Okay. And Mark, your second question is you don't know if you can do this, right? He says, yes. Your third question is what? And he says, well, I don't like sales. I'm not a salesperson. Okay, great. So your question is a concerning sales. Do you have a fourth question? And he says, no. I said, okay, great. Mark, if I can answer all three of these questions and you feel fully satisfied about the answers and you feel good about it, are you ready to get yourself started right away so that you can help a lot of people get healthy and make money at the same time so that you can help other people outside of those? And he said, absolutely. Great. And I basically went through and answered those three questions, okay? So that's how you want to handle that, that when people wind up coming to you and they wind up saying things like, you know, they instantly give an objection after the first question, you want to restate the question and get them to tell you more about what they said they liked. They keep going down with the questions, and at the very end, they may or may not have objections. When they do, then you go ahead and deal with those objections at that point, okay? Okay, so that was Mark. Let me turn my page and see who was left. Here we go. This is a great one. I had a sweet gal that wound up in Salt Lake City, Utah, with us a month ago. And she came out in her first year, I think year and a half that she had been in business, it was a year or a year and a half, she only sponsored three people in that year's time. Came to First Steps in Salt Lake City, Utah in July. Came out of First Steps to Success and sponsored five people her first week following the seminar. And mind you, one of those days was traveling. So she sponsored five people following that first week of that seminar. She presented to 12 and she sponsored five. She had nearly a 50% closing ratio, so like a 45% closing ratio, maybe a little less, okay? Outrageous, outrageous closing ratio that she experienced coming out of First Steps to Success, right? Then she's on the phone with me and she says, I don't know what's happened, but this week I've only gotten 1 out of 10. Now, check this out, okay? Okay, hold on. I forgot to give you step number 6, didn't I? What was it? Oh, step 6 was control the conversation, okay? So step 6 is control the conversation. When they give you objections in the very beginning of the script, you want to control the conversation, restate your question again, drive them down through it. If they ask you questions at that point, control the conversation again by you saying, what questions do you have, and getting a commitment out of them that if your answers are good and they like them, that they'll move forward, okay? So number 6 was control the conversation. Number 7. This is great. Larice, this is number 7. The worst thing about success is a little bit, okay? The worst thing about success is a little bit. Now, again, and write this story down because facts tell, stories sell, and that is for anything. I had a book interview a few days ago, and this producer who has produced books and television shows like Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Laura and things like that, she had said to me, she goes, stories are the most powerful way to get a message across to somebody. Stories are the most impactful thing that is on the planet for people, to move people. And so facts tell, stories sell. Facts give people things to think about. Stories move people to take action. Well, Larice, moved by stories, went the first step, and after a year only sponsoring three people, then comes the first step, sponsors five. Then, a couple weeks later, she only gets 1 out of 10 instead of 5 out of 12. So I said to her, what changed? And she says, the long and the short of it is, I'll save you all the drama. The long and the short of it was that she made a change in her process. After she sponsored those five people, okay, she then began to look at the process and go, you know, I think the 7-minute message needs to be better. I think we can improve that, and I think I need to go to work on making that happen. So then what she did, while a new message was being formed, and mind you, the old message, the original 7-minute message that she used, she was able to close five people on it, right? When I asked her, I said, what changed, Larice? Did the company change? No. Did the products change? No. Did the comp plan change? No. Did the process change? No. What changed? She's like, I don't know. I go, well, what did you do to get those five people in? She says, all I did was read the script on page 2 and bring them to the recorded message and then read page 4. Okay, great. Let me ask you something. What are you doing now that's different? She's like, She says, Danny, I think I'm talking a whole lot more now on page 2. Why? because I'm not really happy with the 7-minute message. I feel like it needs to be better. I said, why does it need to be better when you close 5 out of 12? She goes, that's a really good question. That kind of a closing ratio is outrageously high for our industry. I mean, it's in the top 5% of all people in business, even in sales, that have that high of a closing ratio. Most people have 10% that are good, have a 10% closing ratio. She has an outrageously high closing ratio. Obviously, didn't realize it. So what happened from this point was, is I said, okay, what changed? So this I'm going to ask you. What have you changed? If you've had a week where things were hopping, and then you had a month where things were slopping, what did you change? What did you do differently? Where did you change your process to get a different result? Because if I drop this pen, it will fall on the ground. It's just the way it works. So have you done something? Have you changed something and now getting different results? And here's what winds up, I'll tell you what winds up happening in a minute. But, so the long and the short of it was, is that she began to pitch the prospect on the first call. She began to sell them the opportunity during the prospecting portion when she's only supposed to take them to a 7-minute message and that's it. So that dropped her closing ratios significantly. From 5 out of 12 to 1 out of 10. Okay, that's bad. I need to have that kind of a drop. And all she did was make one little change, because the worst thing about success is a little bit. When we have a little bit of success, we begin to make changes and do things differently for some unknown reason. Either we get overconfident or we get unfocused. And when that happens, we've got a big mess on our hands. Which brings me to number 8, and this was my advice to her. I said, could you imagine, Larise, how much longer you would have continued on the wrong path, getting frustrated sponsoring 1 out of 10? What was your next step? How many more weeks would you have lasted with being frustrated because your results had changed? She said, not long. I said, and were you frustrated? Yes, I was. And did you have doubts slip in? Yes, I did. Did you begin to wonder if it was the leads, or did you begin to wonder if you really had what it took to make it? Did you begin to wonder if maybe you got lucky somehow after first step to success? Because it's exactly, yes. Okay. So, Larise, can you see how important it is to plug in to live settings like this one? Can you imagine if you were not in this class, you would have never found out where you made the turn, the wrong turn, to give you a different result? And you would have went weeks and weeks and weeks, and she finished my sentence. She goes, I would have eventually quit my business because of total frustration, and it wasn't working for me, and it's not worth it. I said, exactly. All the more reason why you have to plug in. All the more reason why these coaching classes, for example, so that you can discover what it is that you're doing wrong. She did not even realize that she made the change. Did not even occur to her that she had done that. Can you imagine how many things on a daily basis that you could be doing in your business or in your marriage or in your parenting that you don't even realize you are provoking negative responses, you're provoking adverse effects, and you don't even realize it? Why? Because we are human beings, and it is so easy to take a step in the wrong direction. All the more important why we have got to plug in and stay plugged in. Look at Larise now that is back on track, and I can guarantee you her results are shining. And when we do that, it not only impacts her life, but it also now impacts the lives of those she is bringing into her business. It also impacts those that are already in her business because she's leading now by the right duplicatable example, instead of leading by an example that eventually will lead to quitting. Isn't that absolutely profound? So, worst thing about success is a little bit is number 7. Number 8 is you have to stay plugged in. You have to plug in to these kinds of events. You've got to stay plugged in to First Steps to Success, which, by the way, is going to be in Los Angeles, California, at the Hilton Universal City Hotel. Right next door to Universal Studios, I can tell you what, there's going to be a lot of people for First Steps at Universal Studios. We're going to be having a blast Labor Day weekend at Universal Studios. That's a fun place, by the way. You got to go. It is so much fun. Great place to recruit, by the way. You're standing in line for a while people in front of you, people behind you. Great way to get to know people and meet people from all over the place, actually. Do some prospecting in Southern California. But anyway, all the more reason why it's easy to get off track. If your numbers are changing and they're going the wrong direction, this is why you got to be in L.A., so that you can get off the wrong track and get put back on the right track. Okay, so there you go. So if your numbers have changed, if something has changed, don't begin to doubt yourself. If you know you're frustrated, don't begin to go, oh, this isn't going to work, and I don't know why I'm doing this, and you begin to lose belief, and then you start talking yourself out of it. Then you get lazy, your hands get idle, your mouth has duct tape on it, and you're not doing anything with your business. Right? This is the natural effect. Well, I promise you, if you look at the road that you're on right now, and if the road is frustration and worry, if the road is procrastination, if the road is feeling doubtful, you can't make it happen, you don't believe, that road is going to lead you to quitting. You have to get off that road. You have to get back on track. You've got to come and find out, what is it that I'm doing that has brought me to this place? Once you find that out, boom, you're back on the right track. Once you're on that right track, then you better stay plugged in. These live calls, the prospecting closing class, first step to success, creating a dynasty that's coming that'll, you know, keep you on the right track longer. Okay, so there you go on that. Now, I had another one of my clients by the name of Seth, and man, doing an awesome job. The gentleman has an enormous, and I mean an enormous business. He came to First Step to Success in Salt Lake City, Utah, and following that seminar, he's had outrageous, outrageous results. And also following using the tools that we have on our website, the North Carolina CDs, the script book. The gentleman had built a huge business in Asia and was trying to get his business off the ground here in the United States and was really having some serious challenges, more so challenges with motivation. He and I had a one-on-one appointment, set him straight on some things, and he just totally rised up and has done an outrageous job. Check out these numbers. He, on a part-time basis, is prospecting. Made 149 dials, got a hold and contacted 26 people, and invited 19 people to take a look at the opportunity, and he had actually 8 show up for the presentation, okay, which those numbers needed improvement. He didn't realize that he really needed the prospecting class, and now he sees it clearly getting into September's prospecting class. So anyway, out of 8 people that took a look, he closed 5. That is more than he's done in a couple of years. Isn't that awesome? He has a 62% closing ratio. And he said, Danny, ever since I came in contact with you, this is what's happened to my numbers. They have gone through the roof. I'm sponsoring people like crazy. He goes, prior to that, I was doing nothing. Isn't that awesome? Why? Because he plugged in. He found out what he was doing that wasn't helpful. He found out the hindering stumbling blocks he was putting in front of him. He found out what those things were, and then boom. And with our one-on-one coaching appointment, it was like icing, man. It just brought absolute crystal clear clarity to the issues that needed to be dealt with inside of his business. And once he dealt with them, boom, he exploded. Isn't that awesome? So number 9 is powerful. Number 9 is take the step. Take the step to move in the direction that you need to move in. You see, there's a lot of people that listen to this call. And when they're listening to this call, they are, just basically sitting there going, oh, man, that's some great information. Oh, yeah, gosh, that sounds great. I'm glad that happened for them. Oh, that sounds so good. I'm going to write that down. But see, what Seth did is he took action. He took action, and he had that consistent action for the last 4 weeks that since he was a part of First Step. Took that action and moved forward. And so I can't stress to you enough, I just threw out a ton of very valuable information to you. I gave you secrets that happen inside of a class that I teach. I gave you gleaning from a private setting and let you have it. It's kind of like peeking in and getting to see what's inside the present. That's what I just gave you. And if you're going to be like Seth was, you're going to go, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to change that. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to make that happen. But if you're like a lot of other people, which is very sad to me, it breaks my heart, you're going to sit here, you're going to listen to this information, and you say, man, that sounds great. Oh, gosh, that was so good. Ooh, that makes me feel better. Ooh, yeah, I like that. Ooh, yeah. And do nothing with it. Please, don't be that way. Please, do whatever it takes to find out what is hindering your life. please do whatever it takes to find out why are you afraid to take the next step. Why? Because look what happens to those that do. They plug in, they find out, they take the next step forward. Please step out of fear and step into faith and step up to the plate and give it your best shot. So again, let's look through these 9 steps. Number 1, we stick to the script. Stick to the system. Don't vary. Don't reinvent anything. It's not broken. It works really well. Number 2, don't assume you know what the prospect wants. Don't assume that. You will make a fool out of yourself, an idiot out of yourself, and you will only attract those that like what you have. That means you're missing 3/4 of the market. Number 3, don't sell what you like. They don't care what you like. They care about what they like. People are very self-centered. That's the way it works. So you got to capitalize on their weakness, which is self-centeredness. And when they're self-centered, you can bring them into the business that teaches them how to serve others and not think of themselves, but how to think of other people. Then they go to a training which absolutely transforms that brain, that heart, and that soul into naturally now thinking of others first instead of themselves. Okay, so don't sell what you like. You need to find what they like. Number 4, don't take your prospect out on a tangent after they've already seen the presentation. Don't take them off on a bunch of bunny trails trying to resell them on the program. Keep it straight, streamlined, and focused. Number 5, you need to look at your numbers. Look at your numbers and see where the breakdown is. Is the breakdown in prospecting? Are you scheduling people? Let's go here. Are you talking to people and none of them want to look at the presentation? Okay, well, then that's an issue of obviously how you're beginning the script. If the issue is that you have a great conversation with them, but none of them show up for the business presentation or less than 50% show up for the business presentation, then you have a prospecting issue. You've got to learn how to troubleshoot that out. Get a part of the prospecting and closing classes. That'll totally open your eyes huge as to where the breakdown is. So you got to look at your numbers and see where the breakdown is and see where you need to make improvements. Number 6, you need to control the conversation. Control the conversation that when they begin to ask you questions, that you are the one that takes control of the conversation. You don't answer those questions initially. You say, man, you validate their questions, say, man, that's a great question, but what did you like concerning those products? Can you tell me more about what you liked about that? And get them down, streamlining down that script. Then at the very end, if they have objections, then you qualify the objections, answer them directly, and get them started. And again, those, if you want to get so good in the area of closing, the prospecting and closing classes together, dually, will absolutely increase your numbers ridiculously. Number six was control the conversation. Number 7 was the worst thing about success is a little bit. And again, so many times when we become a little bit successful, we begin to change things. We do things differently. We go off in a different tangent or in a different track. We begin to think that we can improve the company. We begin to think we can improve the comp plan. We can improve the website. We can improve the script. We can improve the conference call. We can improve the recorded message. That is the worst thing that you can do. That is, hello, we are at war out there, and you're sitting there shining your stinking rifle. Give me a break. You're going to get shot. That road that leads to management mode leads to the death of your business and the death of your dreams. You are not supposed to be shining your armor. You are to be out there on the battlefield. And so whatever you do, do not get overconfident when you have a little bit of success. Keep your head down and do what works. Next is number 8, which was stay plugged in. That's the best way to staying on track. It is so easy for us to get off track. It's so easy for us to make a change. It's so easy for us to take a step in the wrong direction, and we don't realize it until we're totally depressed, fully frustrated, filled with despair, totally worrying, no belief at all, totally filled with doubt. Once we get on that road, then we're like, oh, man, and then eventually makes you quit. So that's the road. If you're on, you better get off, turn around, have a bat face, get plugged in. You gotta be plugging into something every single day. Why? Because there's a million distractions out there waiting to lasso you up to go on the wrong path. Important to stay plugged in like Larissa had done. Here she's plugged into the prospecting and the closing class and realized, oh my gosh, no wonder my numbers changed. I made a change in the wrong direction. Number 9 was to take the next step. Take what you have learned here tonight. Take what you have gained from the website. Take what you've gained from first steps and use it. Put it into action. Put it into play. put it in now. Now, I just gave you 9 things. I want you to pick 2 that you're going to start with tomorrow. Pick 2 things. I want you to maybe even journal about those 2 things where you're going to, you know what, I got to, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Here's my plan of action. And tomorrow, you do those 2 things. Maybe pick number 1, number 3. Pick number 1 and number 7. I don't know. But pick something and do something with it. I can't stress to you enough how important it is for you to take the next step. I know some of you are afraid to take the next step. I know some of you are uncomfortable to take the next step. I know that some of you are worried that it might not work. And maybe you don't have the confidence to take the next step. Maybe you've been beat up like my friend Tina, who was at First Steps this past weekend, from New York, who's, from the movie business, I mean not from the movies, the music business. She's a Grammy Award winner herself, as well as, has produced, many other, songwriters and artists who have also had that kind of success. If you are like her and her husband, who have gone down some scary roads, meaning being taken advantage of, stolen from, you name it, and just afraid to get up and try again, afraid to rise up and to give it one last shot. I know that some of you are there. I've been there. Come on, man, I was homeless. I was living out of a Hyundai, wondering where the food was going to come from, wondering how I was going to pay for gas, wondering how I was going to pay off this $35,000 debt that I was in. I understand. When it comes to taking a step, it can be scary. I understand that you might be afraid to commit, that you might be afraid to believe again, that you might be afraid to give it a last shot, that you may be afraid of failing again or afraid to trust people again, maybe even afraid to trust God. That may be where you're at. But we promise you that if you at least take one step in the right direction, that it's putting you on a different path than the one you're on right now. And it will make a powerful difference for your life, just as it did for mine and just as it has for hundreds of thousands of others. And those are just the ones who've been impacted by the website and the First Step seminars and the classes, not to mention all the other millions of others who've overcome adversity and rose up against it and literally kicked it in the face and said, forget you, I'm not going to quit, I'm still moving forward. So take the next step. You can do it. I believe in you. Because if this uneducated female could do it, so can you. If this kid who had everything going against her could do it, then so can you. And it's a matter of just doing it. Yes, you're going to be afraid, but you can do it. My son was afraid to get in the pool for the first time when he was 2 years old, and he screamed like a maniac. No! No! And I looked him in the eyes and I said, do you trust mommy? And he nodded yes. And has mommy ever brought you to a place where you regretted it? No. And I promise you, Cabe, if you let mommy take you in the pool, you're going to love it and you're going to be excited about it. And I'm probably going to have a hard time getting you out of it once you're in. So you just trust mommy that mommy is not here to hurt you. And he said yes, and he got in the pool, and my son is a fish. He's a fish. This is 8 years ago. This kid is an outrageous swimmer, outrageous athlete. So I know I'm not your mom, but I am your coach, and I am your business partner. And I promise you, if you would just trust me to walk through it, to do the thing that you are afraid to do, and to do that thing you're afraid to do, do it first. I promise you, through time and through effort and through troubleshooting, you'll get better and you'll feel better and you'll gain more confidence and you'll get good at it and you will shock yourself. I know that many of you think, man, you talk about First Steps too much, Danny. I know you believe that. And those of you who have been to First Steps, you know why I do. Because the lives that get changed and impacted there, it's unbelievable. The way people come out believing about themselves and the results that they get are just, it's nuts. It's immeasurable. You can't even measure the confidence that these clients get out of it. You can't even measure the belief that they get, the attitude that they walk out with, and how they're now attracting other people to their business. You can't even measure, you know, how many of the clients who write us and say, man, I used to struggle so hard, and I used to be so frustrated, and I used to think I was going to fail, and I used to think I couldn't do this, and man, now I'm doing it. I want that for everybody that's listening. I truly want to see people succeed outrageously. Why? So you can tell the world about what you've done. So you can proclaim before your fellow man and before your God, look what God let me do. Look at how God allowed me to get started in a business that I didn't think I could do, and I failed miserably, but now I succeed. Why? Because this world is a mess. It's a nasty, sick, and disgusting mess. And there are people that need your inspiration. There are people that need you to rise up out of the pit, to rise up out of debt. There are people that need you to rise up and do what most won't do. They need you. Why? Because when they see you do it, they get inspired that they can too. And if I can create an army of people who are willing to rise up out of fear, rise up out of lack of confidence, rise up of I don't know how, rise up out of their excuses, then oh my goodness, could you imagine what the next generation has as far as hope goes? I'll tell you right now, they don't have a whole lot of hope right now because all the programming that's coming to them is negative, whining, murmuring, complaining, and blaming. Sitting there idle, being apathetic, doing nothing. I'm telling you folks, if we don't rise up and give a better example to our next generation, this next generation is going to be more impoverished than that of the Depression. Why? Because they lack drive, they lack vision, they lack skill, they lack ambition, they lack persistence. They live in a microwave society where everything around them says, gimme, 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 here you go, here you go, here you go. You don't have to be responsible, let's just go play soccer. This next generation is going to be more impoverished, worse than the Depression, if we don't rise up, step up, set an example, and inspire others to do the same. So this is why I'm passionate about Los Angeles. This is why I'm passionate about you getting over yourself, you getting over your excuses. Because we've got a next generation to save. We've got a populace out there who is defeated, that needs to be victorious. We've got a nation with a $33 trillion debt. A nation meaning that's the consumer debt, you and me, that needs to be debt-free. We've got a nation where the number one prescribed drug in America today is an antidepressant. Children are on antidepressants. Please rise up, take a step, and believe that you can. Please do whatever it takes to step up and go for it. Whatever it takes, whatever the cost, it's worth it. Get the strategy that you need. Get the knowledge that you need. Get the wisdom that you need. It's worth it. Why? To never return back to broke again. To never return back to this place again. That's why. To get stronger. To get better. To get wiser. That's why. To have the strategy within you to make a difference in other people's lives, to have a blast doing it. Could you just imagine having a sales force where you are just having a blast with them? Could you imagine enjoying every day working with people, talking with people, seeing them succeed? Could you imagine traveling with those people? Could you imagine the pictures that you're going to, could you just imagine the kind of time you're going to have doing that? And could you imagine how you're going to feel knowing you owe nobody a dime? Can you imagine how you're going to feel knowing that you don't, that you're not controlled by anybody? The feeling of absolute, oh, thank you, God, I get to live this life. Could you imagine how awesome that's going to feel? Being on top of your game, giving it your best shot each and every day? Can you imagine how that's going to feel? I know this. Those of you that will be with me in Los Angeles, September 3rd and 4th, you will know exactly how that feels. Listen, if you're planning on joining us over at First Steps to Success, go right now to www.DannyJohnson.com/seminar, SEMINAR. Again, DannyJohnson.com/seminar. Go there. Get yourself registered right now. Don't go to that seminar alone. Grab people to go with you. If you get yourself registered first, then you know you're committed, and then it's easy for you to tell other people to go. If you are wanting to take advantage of the prospecting and closing classes for September, go to DannyJohnson.com/coaching. Okay? /coaching. Go there right now. The seats are limited. We almost had a sellout this weekend in Boston for those classes in September. So there's a few seats left available in those classes. So don't wait because you'll miss it. Happens to people every month that call us begging, please let me in there. We had a waiting list left over from August. We had a waiting list, and those people are being pushed into September. So, again, /coaching, DannyJohnson.com/coaching. And if you want to get a hold of, like, phone script that I was talking about today, the closing script or the prospecting script, you can go to DannyJohnson.com/product, and that's where you'll find the script book, as well as a bunch of other tools that can help you get wiser, that can help you get better, that can give you more strategy, that can help you close more, that can help you communicate better, that can help you do better with your children, manage your time better, get out of debt, that can do all of these things. There's lots of products over there. And for those of you that you are financially strapped, you're beyond broke, you are literally third world country type of broke, there are free archived calls on the website. If you just go to DannyJohnson.com, sign up as a free member, you got all that stuff available for you. So anyway, I'm just going to close up with this. God bless you guys. And again, I already missed those of you that were in Boston with me this past weekend. You really affected my life. You affected the lives that were around you, and I'm proud of you for stepping up in the month of August. Here we've got the rest of August to really turn out a great month. It's the 15th. We got 15 days left to really make a big bang out there in the marketplace, and to take advantage of all of those people that are totally aggressively looking for something to do before Christmas time hits. And so I want to encourage you, bless you, step up. I believe in you. If I can do it, if the many thousands of other people can do it, so can you. So God bless you. Thank you so much for your time, work, and effort. We love you guys. I'm proud to be in business with you. Keep your chin up, and I'll talk to you guys next Monday night, same time, same place. God bless, and good night.